Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Good morning. Good to be together. I did not feel so woefully underdressed until I saw Raul come out here, fedora and a suit. Man, he looked good, doesn't he? Yeah. Hey. You're not better than me. You're not better than me. the people that you work with, the people that you're in relationship with who do not yet know the Lord or maybe not engaged in church, the studies do show that if you'll just ask them, just invite them. Now, the way that we do it here is we invite a friend and then we say, hey, we'll go out to breakfast or we'll go out to lunch afterwards. I'll meet you there. I'll see you at this door. And, the Lord is working his redemptive plan in all of our lives. If you're a guest here today or a visitor, God is doing something in your life. And we're thrilled that we get to be a part of that. But the Lord is working by his Spirit in the lives of every person that you know. And so this small step, what I like to do, you pray for the people that you're going to give this to, and then you trust that the Lord's going to help you when you give it to them. There's going to be an interest that's going to be piqued, and then they come to church. And then what you don't do is you don't put this mug in your kitchen and just keep it. Because if you do that, we've prayed over these mugs, and every sweet thing will become bitter in that. I'm kidding. And we wrap up the series today. We're wrapping up the series in Esther. And in Esther, God's name is never mentioned. But his name is never mentioned because he's showing his providence and his sovereignty. That even when his name is not mentioned, he is at work. And even when you don't see him, he is at work in your life. So we've gone through this series and we've told the story of how a Jewish orphan girl gets promoted to the place of prominence where she becomes queen. We saw where the evil Haman last weekend, we got to watch his demise. Isn't it great when arrogant people get their just desserts? Don't you love that? Matter of fact, there's a celebration, there's a feast that is celebrated in Israel, of course, and in synagogues among Jewish folks called Purim, P-U-R-I-M. It's the word for the casting of lots that Haman did to decide when he was going to destroy the Jews. And at the festival of Purim, what they'll do is it's kind of like our Halloween. They'll dress up and they'll celebrate and they'll eat food and they'll feast. And then whenever they mention in the synagogue Mordecai, they will say, "Blessed be Mordecai." And whenever they mention Haman, they will stomp their feet and say, "Cursed be Haman." So the fact that we get, I love the part of the story where he goes. Last week we talked about how he went to the banquet and he was pointed out and he went pale and then he was impaled on his own pole that he had put up for Mordecai. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? So cursed be Haman. That's what I'm saying. The story goes on and it tells in Esther chapter 8, 1 and 2, here's what it says. On the same day that Haman was killed, King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Then Mordecai was brought before the king, for Esther had told the king how they were related. Finally, describing that. The king then took off his signet ring, which he had taken back from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai to be in charge of Haman's property. Isn't this a cool fulfillment of everything that God wanted to do? He brought Esther in, he promoted her, and now she's promoting Mordecai, and Mordecai gets the signet ring. He gets everything that the king has to offer. And here's the thing. Today I'm going to take a little bit of a turn from the story of Esther, because in this story, Mordecai is a type of walking in the Holy Spirit. Haman is a type of walking according to the flesh. When I say type, I need to describe it this way. As you study Scripture, there are certain things in the Old Testament where there's kind of an illustration of our current reality. So, for example, a type of Jesus would be Moses. Moses led the people of God out of Egyptian bondage. From bondage, they crossed the river, through the water, into the promised land. Moses is a type of Christ, and we have come out of bondage, out of sin, out of our old lives. We've been then passed through the waters of baptism. We have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and now we come into this promised land, a life living by and in the Spirit. So that's a type in the Old Testament, and when we talk about Esther, Haman is a type of walking in the flesh. By flesh, I don't mean your body. I mean those things in us from the time that we were born that are rebellious towards God. Our own arrogance, our own pride, our own desire to lift ourselves up, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Haman is a type of walking in the flesh. Mordecai is a type of walking in the Spirit. So the turn that I want to take today is I want to talk about what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit. You are in Christ, and you are to walk in the Holy Spirit and walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. And whenever I see things in Scripture like that, I'm like, yes, I totally agree with that. Yes, but how? So I want to get to a place, I'm going to set a foundation of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life, and then I want to talk about how can we actually walk in the Holy Spirit. How can we walk in the Holy Spirit? So we begin with Galatians chapter 5, 25. It says this: since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us then also walk in the Spirit. Now, the only way that you have given your life to Jesus, you came to Jesus, you accepted him as your Savior, and then his Holy Spirit actually made you alive to God. This is what happens in salvation. The Father sends the Son in complete obedience to the Father lives a sinless life, dies on the cross for our sins, and then we have this opportunity by faith to trust in him. He did the work, we get the grace. And when we believe in him, the moment that we believe in him, the Holy Spirit makes us alive, changes our nature. You have been made alive, if you've asked Jesus into your life, you've been made alive by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit started this, and the Scripture is saying, if the Spirit has started it, then you should continue to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit started it, and now I'm going to walk in the Spirit. It was February of 95, and I was in graduate school and suffering a nervous breakdown, and I was in a ditch along the interstate, I-74, I gave my life to Jesus. I was knelt down. I was praying. I was at the end of my own rope. It was an answer to my mom's prayers. And really, I had run from God for so long because I was afraid. One, I wanted to do my own thing. I'm sure you've never felt this way. And number two, I was afraid he was going to make me a preacher. Honest truth. Now, on that point, I was right. My sneaky suspicion was right on target. I knew he was going to mess with my life if I gave him my life. And I gave him my life. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit has a way of speaking to us because God made us, and it's not an audible voice, but on the inside, the Lord just gave me this picture. In the same way that the earth goes through a death in winter so that spring can come forth. We're expecting spring at any moment now. It is a high of 39 today. Thank you very much. Still love Cincinnati, though. Love you, Cincinnati. Love you. In the same way that the earth goes through a death so that life can come, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me on the inside. So there's been a season of death, and now there is a new Rob. This is the sense that I had from the Spirit. I stood up in that ditch, and I want to tell you that absolutely nothing in my life had changed at that moment. And everything had changed in that moment. I had been made new by him. That's a work of his Holy Spirit. And the Bible's saying that since the Spirit started the work, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, how do I get in on this? He said, you have to be born again. He said, do I go back again in my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no. And your mom said, double no. It's like the wind. You don't know. You can't see. You can see the effect of it. So it is with the Spirit of God. You've got to be born once. But you've got to be born a second time, and you're born how? The Holy Spirit does a work in you. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17 says this: so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, and how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. You are not the same person you were before you knew Jesus. The Holy Spirit has made you a totally new person. Now, just by a show of hands, how many people would say that there was something in your life that you wanted to get rid of that miraculously, when you gave your life to Jesus, kind of fell off of your life in a miraculous way? Anyone here? It happened to a lot of us. And then how many of you also have been through a process where God has removed some stuff from your life? Process people? Don't you hate that? Don't you prefer the first way? But he's God and he does what he wants. We have been made totally new. We are new. And here's what's great. Oh, this is so good about the Christian life. If you don't know Jesus, you're missing out. You might think as you drive by a church, boy, that's the last thing I need is to try harder, to do more, to try to earn my salvation, to try to get in a relationship with God. Here's what we forget. You're not turning over a new leaf when you get saved. You get a new life. You don't turn over a new leaf, redouble your efforts and grab yourself by your bootstraps. I still had this concept in my mind. Even when I gave my life to Christ, it was like, I'm going to really have to get serious now. And the truth is, he sent us a helper, the Holy Spirit, to make us new on the inside, to give us new desires and a new temperament, a new way of looking at life. And if you've asked Christ into your life, he has made you new. This is actually a promise given to us in the Old Testament. The prophets looked forward to a Messiah. And when they looked forward to a Messiah, Ezekiel said this, and I'm going to give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn, no good, yellow, good for nothing heart. That sounds like a country song. Your cheating heart. And I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. Isn't that beautiful? And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This spirit that lives within us desires the things of God, that not only gives us new desires, gives us the ability, gives us the desire to do what he wants us to do. God knew that we weren't going to, from external pressure or religious pressure, become anything great. He knew that just because you know the Ten Commandments, that gives you no power to follow them. I always get a kick out of people who have the Ten Commandments in their front yard. No offense if you do, that's great. But how are you going to keep those? Just by reading them? They have no power. You can read them all day long. Matter of fact, when you read a sign, it makes you want to do the opposite. No swimming, no fishing. No, I'm like, all right, it's on now. I didn't want to swim until I saw the sign. A lot of times the law just elicits in us a fleshly response. God knew that you would be powerless to follow the law, so he put his spirit in you to want to do the law and the ability to follow through on it. Galatians chapter 5 says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit. By the Spirit. It's interesting, like, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made you alive, so walk by the Spirit. And you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the secret to getting away from the flesh. It's not focusing on the flesh, focusing on your sin. That'll never free you from sin. You focus on walking in the Holy Spirit. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is interesting. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? That means if you drive the speed limit, you don't have to look for cops. I learned this one time. When I tried it, it's like, wow, this is kind of relaxing. I'll just go 55 miles an hour. I don't have to look for cops. I'll get out in the left-hand lane like everybody else in Ohio and just drive the speed limit. Keep the speed limit to yourself. I swear, some people are trying to teach others of us how to drive safe. Like, this is how you, no. Where was I at? Oh, yes, the Spirit. So when you drive the speed limit, you don't have to look for cops. You don't have to have Waze on where it shows you that there's a cop up ahead, because that's what we use Waze for. See, when you live by the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That means that the Holy Spirit keeps you within the legal limits. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you in love and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and all those things. There's no law against them. So you're not under condemnation when you're walking in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always do the things that please the Lord. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. In other words, I'm going to give you the power, the comforter is going to come, and it's a good thing that I'm leaving. I'm going to send you the comforter, and the comforter is going to lead you and guide you and live through you in a way that you won't have to destroy the law. You won't live under the law. You'll be inside the law by the power of the Holy Spirit, see? The Holy Spirit's role in our life to lead us and guide us and show us how to live keeps us out of condemnation, because it keeps us in the perfect will of the Father. And so we abide in Him, and He abides in us, and you're in me and I'm in you. And now all those in you, in me, us together kind of scriptures, this is what it means. It means the Holy Spirit, and we're abiding in Him and walking in Him. This is His desire for us. Now it goes on to say, the works of the flesh are obvious. Works, key word, works. If you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, you will have to work to be in the flesh, because it's not natural for you anymore. Works of the flesh. Hang on, let me pause for a second and say, I used to be so good at sinning. Like, if you'd have known me when I was in college, dude, it was on. Like, let's drink before the party, during the party, after the party. We're going to smoke more and do more. I'm a leader no matter what, you know, so I'm going to lead in this way. Try to keep up if you can all night long. I'm the last one standing. I mean, I'm not a big guy, but I can hold lots of alcohol, because I come from a generation of trying that, okay? And Irish and all this kind of stuff, right? So did I just say that? And man, I could party. I could sin. And now, I'm terrible at sinning. Aren't you glad to hear that from your pastor? You're like, yeah, good, this is weird. I'm terrible at sinning. So are you. So you have the Spirit of God in you. You can't tell the least little fib, and the Holy Spirit's bothering you. You can't have bitterness against any person in your life, even though some people deserve it. Huh? You can't. He won't allow it. The least little thing troubles you. It's work now. As you're born again, it's work for you to sin. You can, but it's work. It doesn't suit you. It doesn't fit you anymore, because you have a new nature. The works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. Do we have a sexual immorality issue in our culture today or not? Is it not everywhere on TV? Listen, you have to be careful what application you open on your phone. You can have Snapchat, but if you open it, you will see things that you don't want to see. I've made a covenant with my eyes, and I want to live holy before the Lord. And I see that all that sin you used to commit, it's not satisfying to you anymore as a believer in Christ. You just need to admit that. This is not satisfying. There is no satisfaction in following that at all. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, Paul's writing this, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, as you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you can try to quench the Spirit, but you will be troubled greatly if you live in that way. You can live against God, but it will be work. It will be work. As a matter of fact, the fact that you struggle with sin proves not that you're a sinner, but that you're a saint. And you are a saint. In the New Testament, you are never referred to as a sinner. You're referred to as a saint. Never once in the New Testament are any believers in Jesus referred to as sinners. I know that we like to say, that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you're a lot more than that. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. You're more than a sinner. You are a saint. Well, Christians aren't perfect. It's a great bumper sticker. Just forgiven. Please tell me there's more to the Christian life than barely getting in. Please tell me there's more to the Christian life than, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're being redeemed. You're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You're growing up in Him. You're becoming more and more like your Savior. You have the righteousness of Christ on the inside of you. You are holy. He sees you as righteous. You know what justification is? That means that God has lowered His gavel on your life because of the shed blood of His Son, and He has declared you holy. God has declared you holy. I've been in courtrooms before, and we've had some folks who I've gone to their kind of defense, and I share as a pastor, and the judge will listen, and it really doesn't matter what I say, because the gavel's going to come down, and what the judge says goes, and it's not a place of grace. Yeah, well, I feel like a number. It's because you are. You're in the legal system. And it's all about the letter of the law, and the gavel comes down. God's gavel has come down upon you, and He has declared you holy and righteous because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You are before Him holy, you are before Him righteous, and let not any man say something is unclean that God has deemed clean. He has called you clean. You should call yourself clean, clean because He has made it possible through His Son. You are clean. You are declared. You are declared in legal standing before God, righteous and holy. This is your new identity because of the Holy Spirit. He's made you new. It goes on, the works of the flesh. Now it says in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit. Do you see the difference between work and fruit? There's a fruit of the Spirit, not work of the Spirit. I'll get back to the scripture in a minute. Some of you worry when it like sits up there. Don't worry, it's okay. The fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the work of the flesh. A tree doesn't sweat. A tree doesn't grunt or strain. An apple tree doesn't, finally, an apple. No. You just, if you're a guest, you just never know what I might do. I don't know either. Trees don't strain. This is where Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. By His Spirit, you can walk in His Spirit and you just produce fruit naturally because you're abiding in the vine and the Holy Spirit has nutrients and given you life and you're going from glory to glory, strength to strength, and you look back and you say, wow, there's a lot of fruit. I didn't have to strain. Now you will have to strain if you go against the Holy Spirit. There will be works, but the work is not to flow in the Holy Spirit. We don't work. We don't earn it. Doesn't matter if you have a suit jacket on or not. I'm still hung up on that. You're not better than me. Whether you go to church all the time, whether you do all this, not a work. Aren't you glad it's not a work? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And He relied on the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, walked in the Holy Spirit. Every time He did a miracle, He gave credit to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. And this is the same way that we are to walk, abiding in Him. And there's peace and there's joy and there's patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. You know when you're walking in the Spirit. Forbearance or patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Like as much of that as you want. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And again, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, and since the Holy Spirit has made us alive, just keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I'll illustrate it this way. I like CVG, the airport. It's Cincinnati's airport, as I like to say, conveniently located in northern Kentucky. And I love it because you come back from like D.C. or somewhere out west, and there's been all this hubbub and all this busyness, and you come to CVG and you land in the evening, and it's just chill. I mean, it's nice and peaceful and quiet, and everybody there is super nice. I just love this airport. I love coming home to Cincinnati, as the shirt will tell you. And then what I really enjoy about CVG is they have these human conveyor belts. Have you seen? You've got a little ways to walk. We don't want you to have to walk. You just step on here and it just takes you. But if you're a type A personality like me and you've got somewhere to go and some people to see and some stuff to do, you walk while you're on that, right? And then you see other people who are outside of it. I don't know, were they just exercising? They're out there walking. I'm like, you drive 55 on the interstate in the left-hand lane, I bet. And you're out there. But I'm walking on this conveyor belt. And if you walk on the conveyor belt, it's like you're bionic man. You're walking by them. Man, you're just flying. Don't you love it? And you're just like, how fast can I go on this thing? Be careful, because when you get to the end, you're going faster than you think, okay? and then you fall down and people walk by you, you know, tortoise in the hair. And they're like, you got what was coming to you, type A. But I love this conveyor belt. I wish there was one everywhere. It's like you're in a dream, because you're taking the normal steps, but you're just flying by people. It's so great. Why am I saying all this? This is what it's like to walk in the Holy Spirit. This is what it's like. He's given you the wind of His Spirit at your back. When you wake up in the morning, the Spirit of God in you wants to read the book that He wrote. And so when you go there, your flesh may not want to, but you go there and you open the book, and the Spirit of God on the inside of you says, I wrote that. I'm going to teach you what it says right now. You desire Him. When you put on, listen, just go for a week, turn Netflix off, stop binging, and just listen to some worship music. You'll find out that the Holy Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you loves to worship God. Loves to worship God. The Spirit of God within you loves the people of God in all their imperfections. I love church. I can't even describe to you the love that God has put in my heart for all of you. I can't describe to you the joy that I have in doing what I get to do. I have to admit this. I love His Word. I love to worship. I love walking in the Spirit. And you do too, because you have His Spirit within you. Now, you can be like my 12-year-old son and turn around and try to walk opposite. Because any kid who sees a conveyor belt says, I'm pretty sure I can beat that thing, you know? You could turn around. You could be walking this way, walking in the Spirit, His wind at your back, doing what He's asking you to do. Now, you can turn back and live the old way that you used to live. You can go after the things that you used to go after, but you will not be happy, and it will not be easy. It will be a work. You will be fighting against your new nature. I think there's a whole lot of believers in the world who cross the line of faith. They cross the line of faith and they see that God has justified them. They're believing God for their salvation, but they have not yet learned the joy of walking in the Holy Spirit. And so they live their life resisting, fighting against the Spirit, walking against it, saying, Jesus is not working for me. No, 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 you've got to walk in the same way that you were born, by the Holy Spirit. Now walk in the Spirit. You're going to have joy, and you're going to have peace, and you're going to have patience. See, when you walk against the Spirit, you walk according to the flesh, the enemy is there. And what he's going to tell you is, see, you're not even saved. You think other people struggle like this? You're not even saved. The fact that you struggle with sin proves that you're saved. The fact that you can't stand it, I hate sin. The fact that you hate it shows the Holy Spirit's alive on the inside of you. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Let me give you just three simple, they're not really steps, they're just things to think about. One, admit that apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't do anything. This is not about like redoubling your efforts and trying harder. Would you please stop trying so hard? Christ died on the cross for us to trust in Him, not for us to try harder. I'm going to do this. No, you're not. What you need to do is come to the Lord with all of your imperfections. Some of you today may be struggling with addiction. Let me tell you what you do with that. You take that to God and say, God, I hate this, and I can't change this about me. That's what He wants you to do. I can't do anything about it. He doesn't want to hear what you're going to do. He doesn't want to hear your plans of how you're going to overcome it. What He wants you to do is come boldly before His throne of grace and tell Him, I need you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I have to abide in you for everything. I need you. Holy Spirit, come and fill every part of my life. Holy Spirit, come and fill every part of my life. Then what we could do is this. Number two, see your new nature. Start to see what is new about you. Like, if your old self, this before you gave your life to Jesus self, could talk to your new self, they wouldn't even get along My old self would look at my new self and say, what in the world are you doing? See, you're different and you're new. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You are, see, when we have communion, we partake together. And in your Christian life, as you've trusted in Jesus, you are actually a partaker of his divine nature. So you can no longer say, I'm just a filthy, wretched sinner. That's not true. You are now a partaker of his divine nature. What's true of him is actually true of you. So now you love to worship. You love the Lord. You love his church. You love his word. I love Psalm 119. It talks all about the word. It says, I will lift up my hands to your word which I love. How can a young man keep his way pure but living according to your word? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your new nature loves the word, feeds on the word. You are far more spiritual than you think. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You love to worship. You love his word. You love coming to church. You love being in a small group with other believers. You love praying. You love to spend time talking with him. Well, I had to learn when I came to Jesus, I have a whole new nature. There's a whole new bunch of desires that I never knew I had. I need to confess this. I need to admit, and I need to say what my new nature is. So instead of saying what other people have said about me, instead of saying where I came from, instead of identifying with all the stuff in the past, I forget those things that are behind me, and I press forward admitting who I am in him today. You'll never get free from sin by focusing on it. You'll never get free by focusing on it. You turn your eyes to him. And here's what happens. See if this is true for you. I've been living for the Lord now, strong since 95. As I walk with him, after a while I look up and I'm more free than I was before, and I didn't even really know it was happening. Stuff has fallen from my life over the course of following him. And it's not by focusing on my sin. It's by focusing on him. It's not so much that you would focus and say, less of this, less of this, less of this, but that your life would be filled with his spirit. And that by being filled with his spirit, you would press out the desires of everything else. That you wouldn't quench the spirit, but that you'd include him in everything. It's not denying reality to confess a divine reality. I'm not denying reality by saying, I'm not saying life is perfect and life isn't difficult. I'm saying by faith in the word of God, he's given me a brand new nature and I am a new person and my desires are different and I'm a different person by his spirit. We're admitting and living in that divine reality. The enemy would say to you, why are you trying to even be righteous, you miserable sinner? But the Spirit of God says, why would you waste one moment sinning? Being that you're made so righteous. Do you see the difference? There was a pastor friend of mine who was standing with a group of men that he didn't know. And he said there was a woman that walked by, a beautiful woman walked by. She was wearing a gownless evening strap, he said. Are you with me right now? She didn't have a whole lot on. Beautiful woman walks by, and one of the men, they're all looking at this woman, and they turn to the preacher. They didn't know he was a preacher, and they said, man, wouldn't you like to be with her? And the preacher thought for a minute, and he said, it wouldn't suit me. They said, what? What do you mean it wouldn't suit you? He said, it wouldn't suit me. I could do that, sure. I understand. I'm a man. She's a woman. Yeah. But it wouldn't suit me. Because I would struggle all the way to the house. And I would struggle. And then afterwards, I would be miserable and I would hate my life. And it would destroy everything in my life. And I would really struggle with it. Why? Because my new nature doesn't want anything to do with that. It wouldn't suit me. You need to start saying what really suits the new you. Not the old you, but the new you. What really suits you is to never gossip about a person ever again. That's what really suits you. To love and to have peace and to have joy. That's what suits you, to worship, to be with his people, to encourage people, to love people. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is to say he'll give you brand new desires. Feed the desires that God has given you and watch everything else in your life be pushed to the side. Last scripture, Romans chapter 6 says this, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves of sin. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. By the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, sin has lost its power over your life. As you walk in the Spirit, you admit, I am no longer a slave to sin. There is no sin that you have to be a slave to because Jesus died and took captivity captive. Now you have the gift, the ability to walk in his Spirit. So I'm encouraging you this week. I had somebody text me this morning a picture. They were at CVG this morning. They had been in service last night, and they sent me a picture of them on that escalator. Man, they were like this. Man, it was all. This is what I'm encouraging you this week, man. Walk in the Holy Spirit and enjoy him this week. Will you stand with me, and we'll pray before we go. You'll agree with me in prayer, and then I want to say a blessing over you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your grace and mercy and love. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we are in agreement today. We desire more of you in our life. We really do want to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. We want to please you. We want all these, the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So, Father, would you help us this week? Now, Father, just fill every area of our life with your Holy Spirit. We are receptive and we are open to you. Thank you for the new, soft, tender, receptive heart that you've given us. Help us to walk and follow your Spirit this week. Now, Father, I pray a blessing over your people today, that as they go, they would sense your great love and grace and mercy. They would hear your voice, and Father, as they walk with you this week, they would feel the strength and power of your Holy Spirit walking with them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.